Minutes away from 5 o'clock, this is ESPN 1530. Reds win today 5-1 in Pittsburgh. Reaction from PNC Park coming up shortly. Cincinnati now 3-0-2 in their last five series. We've talked for the last 2 months about the situation at UC. Wes Miller taking over for John Brannon. And in the aftermath of that, regardless of how you feel about the coaching change, how you feel about a lot of what's been reported, I think it's undeniable. John Brannon's professional reputation has taken some hits, and you may think necessarily so, you may think justifiably so, you may think unnecessarily so. I have wondered somewhat rhetorically often over the last couple of weeks, is there anybody who's going to step forward and speak on John Brannon's behalf? And I even said yesterday it would be interesting to hear from a former player. Well, the greatest player that John Brannon coached at NKU, the greatest player in the history of Northern Kentucky University men's basketball, is Drew McDonald, and he tweeted yesterday, I don't know if this coincided with our show or if it was in response to something that he heard on our air. We'll find out here in a second. But he tweeted this: anybody who wants to hear my experiences with him, my phone is always on. Probably won't fit the narrative anybody has or everyone has heard. So I don't expect a lot of calls. He's a great coach and an even better man. So we called and Drew answered. And for the second time today, he's on this radio station. It's good to have you. How are you?
No, I'm doing great. How are you today?
I am well. From your perspective, as you've watched all of this play out involving somebody that you played for and that you've been close with, what has gone through your mind?
Oh, wow. Where do I start? Just a lot. First off, I feel bad for John and the family and just the backlash they're receiving. I think undeservingly so. It goes beyond basketball. I've seen it impact their family, and I feel bad for them. But just it kind of baffles me where some of this stuff is coming from. I kind of wanted to sit back and take it all in and learn as much as I could. And I've talked to a ton of people, both in the program, former players that I've played with, and we've been talking about it. But wanted to get as much information as I could, and I just think now is the right time to kind of step out and speak about it.
Of the criticism that you think is undeserving, what has been most unfair?
I think just the narrative out there that John doesn't care about his players and he's this dictator that just cares about winning basketball games and all this other stuff. I mean, I can speak from playing in the program for 4 years and being with John and knowing him for a long time that that's completely and utterly false. I talk to John all the time still. We have great conversations post-basketball, and I never once felt like he didn't care about me personally as a person, student, far beyond a basketball player. So I think that's kind of the narrative that's getting twisted and turned out there.
You, I'm sure, have read the accounts of what some of the issues were behind the scenes, and a lot of those are centered around practices and the way players were allegedly treated during practice, water breaks, distrust of medical staff, things of that nature. Your experiences at NKU with John, do they mirror anything that you've read about or heard about his methods at the University of Cincinnati?
I mean, I've read everything that I can find and that most of the public has read. And they talk about those practices, and they are very familiar in terms of structure of the drills that are taking place that I remember doing. I've talked with people who have been with John longer than I have, and they kind of have said that practices seem to be similar from what I'm gathering from them. And those same drills, I mean, I vividly remember doing those drills that have been described as far as missed free throws and then running for a sprint, and you miss your free throws and you run. I mean, I think any basketball player can attest they've done some kind of drill similar to that.
Sure.
I remember doing those drills longer. I remember doing them just as intense, if not more intense, with a heart rate monitor on, with athletic trainers in the room, with strength and conditioning coaches in the room. But I never felt like my health was ever in jeopardy. Sure, if you ask me in the moment, I was cussing Brannon out, not happy with it, but I mean, that's every player. But when I sit back and look, I never questioned my health wasn't a top priority at that time.
Were you ever in a set of circumstances where you felt like either John or the coaches working for him either were ignoring medical advice or that the training staff had to step in or anything of that nature?
No, not at all. I think it's almost, during my time with him, was almost the opposite. I think when it came to the health and not the safety, but the physical injuries and illnesses of the players, he almost took a back seat to the trainers and kind of let them. He's a basketball coach. That's what he would tell me. He's like, I'm here to coach players that are on the court. And if they're not well enough to be on the court, if they're hurt, if they rolled an ankle, they're not feeling well, then that's the trainer's job. And what they're paid to do is to monitor the health of the player in terms of whether they can be on the court or not. As far as him questioning that, no. I mean, I remember sitting in training rooms after a rolled ankle when he'd come in right before practice, like, hey, can you go today? And looking at the athletic trainer, and it's their call. So I don't ever recall him pushing someone or rebuking the athletic training staff.
There was, when all this started, there were a bunch of players who left UC's program right when the season ended. And then in that immediate aftermath, reports that came out of a disconnect between players and John Brannon and mistrust and players feeling, claiming, anonymously at least, that they felt manipulated. When you reflect on your experience or the experiences of your teammates playing for John Brannon at NKU, did anything similar to what has been written about or talked about in terms of the relationship between the players and the coach, did anything like that unfold at NKU?
Not to my knowledge. What I tell people is Coach Brannon isn't the coach for everyone, just like Coach Krzyzewski's not the coach for everyone, just like Bob Huggins isn't the coach for everyone, just like no coach fits everyone's play style. I don't know how people felt. I can't speak on their behalf. I won't speak on their behalf.
Sure.
But I can tell you from my experiences with Coach and being in the four different teams and locker rooms that I had, I don't ever recall an experience like that.
If I were to, and this is, I'm asking you to guess here. If I were to ask everybody who played during those 4 years at NKU, look, on any team, there's going to be some players who are dissatisfied with the coaching they're getting because they don't like their playing time or the situation's just not a good fit or whatever. Not everybody's going to have the same experience. But by and large, if we were to talk to everybody you played with at NKU and said, all right, relate to me your experiences playing for John Brannon, do you believe most would share with me a positive experience playing for him?
Without a doubt. I mean, I still talk to most of my former college teammates. I mean, obviously they all play for John, but they all have nothing but positive to say. I feel like most of them are in John's corner going right now, but I mean, I tell people all the time, if I had the ability to go back and do it all again, there's no doubt I would go back to Northern Kentucky. I'd play for John Brannon, and I'd do the exact same thing over again.
So I'm asking you, admittedly, I'm asking you to speculate here. You describe a very positive experience, and you believe most of your teammates would describe a very positive experience. Others have described playing at UC an experience that wasn't so positive. Now, COVID was an issue. You didn't deal with that at NKU. It is a higher profile job at UC. I think you would agree with that. And so maybe there's added stress to win and all that. But why do you believe that there are so many people at UC that describe an experience that wasn't positive when you and your teammates describe an experience at NKU that was?
You're asking me to speculate. I don't like to speculate that much, but I mean, I can talk on my experiences. I have enjoyed nothing but a positive experience. Those guys, I would never in a million years ever want to play in a COVID season. I think the regulations that they were limited, the limitations that were put on, I think there was so much outside adversity that was put on sports in general. And then, NCAA just making it way easier to transfer. We have 1,500 transfers right now
right.
in the portal.
Right.
It's a new era of college basketball. I mean, look at Roy Williams. He left. I mean, I don't know if he came out and said it, but there's speculations around that he left because of the direction of college basketball right now. So, like I said, I can't speak on others' behalf of why they perceive the negative experience with Coach Brannon, but I mean, I'll revert to what I said before. Not all coaches fit all players' play style. So whether they didn't like the play style, they didn't like his philosophies of coaching, I don't know, but I had nothing, and most people I've talked to have nothing but a positive experience from Coach Brennan.
It seemed to me that the theory arose in the early going of all this that, you know, players are dealing with a COVID year. That's obviously not something you can directly relate to, but, you know, college basketball players, college athletes dealing with sets of circumstances that they didn't sign up for that were less than ideal, that they can't enjoy the normal college experience. They certainly can't enjoy the normal college athlete experience. You add that to the inherent stress that comes with playing college basketball. And there are a lot of folks who have wondered, okay, these guys are dealing with something that no coach has ever had to deal with. John Brandon is, admittedly, he's somebody who's all about basketball and his family, right? And so a lot of coaches like him, they put their nose down, they go to work, they crunch more film, they're coaching, they're all about basketball. This might have been a year where it helped a coach to empathize with his players a little bit more and relate to them a little bit more. Did you ever have a problem, admittedly in a different set of circumstances, did you or your teammates ever have a problem relating, getting your coach to relate to you, talking with him about things that maybe had nothing to do with basketball?
I never did. Like I said, I can't speak for everyone else, but me personally, I never had a problem talking to him. Like I said, I still talk to him a lot, and he checks in about my personal life. I've talked to him outside of basketball, and it could be that we had a better relationship than most. But like you said, during COVID, I would never even want to like think about what it would take from there. But he's someone who loves basketball and family. That's what he loves. That's what he wants. He has two families. He has his basketball family, and he has his family. Those are two things he cares about. And if it's not in that realm of possibility, you're almost, I don't want to say an afterthought, but you're just not in his primary focus group. So I can't speak for anyone else but myself, but I've had nothing but positive conversations with Coach throughout my career, even present day.
I'm always struck by how large the college basketball community is. Has anybody who played for him at UC ever reached out, gotten a hold of you and said, hey, look, what's with this guy? Or what was your experience like? Or help me understand the best way to play for this guy. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody playing at UC for John Brandon about what it was like to play for John Brandon?
Yes, I have had multiple of those conversations. I will not release names. I don't feel like that's my obligation. But yes, I have had multiple of those conversations.
Without releasing names, I mean, what are the nature of those? What do they say to you? What have they relayed to you?
They just ask what he's like as a coach and what it's like to play for him. And I'm honest with him. I'm like, it's not easy. And I mean, I talked to Tony Pike earlier today. I'm like, any coach that's easier is not on you or not pushing you to your best is failing you as a coach. And that goes for beyond coaching and leadership in general. And my mom was a coach, and she told me all the time, like, if the coach stops yelling at you and stops getting on you, then that coach has lost faith in you and lost any ability to coach you. So I tell him he's going to be hard on you. He's going to push you. He's going to put you in adverse situations. And because not every day is 70 and sunny, not just in basketball, but in life. And you got to learn how to handle those adverse situations. And that's how he is as a coach. But once you earn his trust, then he has an insane amount of trust for you. He trusts you to be around his family, his kids, trusts you on and off the basketball court. And if he can't trust you, that's a problem that's within the program, and that's not very good.
I think what made this so surprising, this whole ordeal surprising for so many people, is they played really well down the stretch, UC did. They won 9 out of 13. Obviously made a run to the conference tournament championship game, and then almost immediately the roster started to basically disintegrate with guys leaving. I don't know to what extent you watched or paid attention to UC basketball this year, but as somebody who obviously has extensive experience playing at a very high level and playing for John Brandon, could you have watched the season unfold the way it did and been able to tell a layperson like myself that, hey, here are some things happening that you should pay attention to that might signal trouble down the road?
A little bit. I can't really go into too much detail about that, but I mean, there was some signs out there, but nothing too crazy. The whole opting out thing made things so much more difficult for college basketball this year. And obviously there were multiple that opted out and opted back in. for a variety of reasons, not just because they want to transfer. It was for a bunch of different reasons from what I've heard. But that just makes everything else so much more confusing in basketball. I mean, you could look at that and be like, oh, there could be some trouble there, even though I don't think there was any. I just think it was such a unique year in general with COVID, with no tournament last year, and now you're playing this year. I just think it was so hard to decipher this season as an outsider. And even myself, who I can have some conversations with certain people on the inside, it was so hard to decipher what was going on in terms of just the restrictions and limitations around practices.
So, and you've been awesome with your time. I appreciate it. You know, you've talked to both of us today, which we appreciate immensely. You never felt playing for John Brandon, this guy's a tyrant, this guy's a bully, this guy's manipulative, this guy is making us do things that go beyond, you know, punitive practices, this guy is not making us do anything that goes above and beyond the normal things you would make a college basketball player do, even in a down season?
No, not at all. Not at all. I can't really expand on that. I just know. The answer to your question is no.
If I had a son and, you know, John Brandon's coaching in whatever capacity, and I said they've got a chance to go play for John Brandon, you would say let him play for John Brandon?
Yes, I'd encourage it. I would say, I mean, I said at the beginning of this interview that if I had to do it all over again, I would go back and do the exact same thing and play for John Brandon and go to Northern Kentucky. And I loved my experience and almost have nothing negative to say besides I wish we won a few more games in my first couple years.
I appreciate you doing this. I've been hoping somebody like you would step forward. You said you didn't know if your phone was going to ring. It's rang on our behalf twice. I hope it continues to. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And Tony as well, giving me a call. I know I've talked to some people and I know there's a lot of John supporters out there and, that are going to be continuing to talk and, I look forward to getting both sides of the story out there.
Do you and people you played with at NKU, other staff members, have you talked about, look, we've got to start speaking out. We've got to start stepping up. We've got to go and support. John Brandon, it's a legal matter now, so he's not going to say anything. Have you guys chosen amongst yourselves to sort of publicly rally to his defense?
To an extent, yeah. I mean, we've talked about it. I mean, those are some of my best friends in the world are the people I've played with, had unbelievable experiences with them. And, I mean, we've been talking since, I mean, this was all going on at the very beginning. And I think some recent news and some articles written have kind of pushed the boat. We have a full gathering of what we think happened in our experiences, and it's just time for the public and the media world to hear both sides of the story. And I think it's easy right now to bash John and to be the guy who was unhappy, but I think it's harder now than it has ever been to stand up and defend him. So.
All right. I appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I appreciate it, Mo. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. That's Drew McDonald, a long time, the greatest player in the history of NKU basketball. So there you go. 9 minutes away from 5 o'clock. We're late. I went long with Drew. Look, that might not change anything in terms of what John did at UC. And it maybe adds a layer of interesting to it because the experience that Drew McDonald just described is vastly different than the one that Jaron Cumberland is on the record as describing. And what Drew or NKU players or anybody at that institution may say, that doesn't mean that UC is in the wrong for removing him. But it adds perspective and it adds a layer to a story that is fascinating. Because it would seem, if I take Drew McDonald at his word, he played for him for 4 years, had an incredible amount of team and individual success. If I take him at his word, the experience that most had at NKU was a positive one. And if we consume everything that's come out of the UC situation, more players had a negative experience than a positive one at UC, including ones that played for John Brandon pre-COVID. That's fascinating. In terms of the legal matter here, that's between UC and John Brandon. But there's also somebody's professional reputation. And that's why we had Drew on. I mean, I just tweeted out a response to somebody. And I said, look, this has become a story that involves a few different angles. And one is UC going to have to pay him $5 million? Or are they going to settle? did they fire him with cause? But there's also the matter of –